It's rather reassuring for radio presenters that the human voice is such a crucial part of the human auditory environment. We all spend more time listening to voices than to any other sound on the planet. And we're not just receiving spoken messages, we're decoding unspoken ones, as well as, sometimes, just flexing our vocal muscles.
A good voice is a healthy voice. It lets the individual do whatever he or she wants to do with his voice.
A lot of people have at least a couple of octaves range, which is just stunning what some people can produce. Not everybody, of course, is that versatile. And again, the qualities of voice can change, so you can do an enormous amount with it.
As we'll be finding out on this BBC Discovery programme, how we hear other people's voices and use them as a window on the mind of other speakers is an area of increasing interest to researchers. The way the vibrating folds of the larynx can be configured to strikingly individual effect is demonstrated rather well, I think you'll agree, by Sten Ternström of KTH, Stockholm's Institute of Technology.
You can have different degrees of press, for example, going from very breathy, where I'm not pushing my vocal folds together at all, to a normal sort of voice. If I press them together, I get a kind of press voice like this. Or you can have a very breathy voice.
But these voices are to some degree involuntary, aren't they? I mean, you're doing rather brilliant sort of impersonations of people, but the fact is that we all have a natural disposition, as it were, where the voice is concerned.
Well, just like your face is unique, the details of your vocal tract are also unique. And it's a very interesting fact that this uniqueness leaves a sort of imprint on your sound wave as well. And you will make certain assumptions as to who I am or what I am like.
What any of us are like has a lot to do with how our voices sound. And there's a surprising consensus on the qualities we associate with them. According to Anita McAllister, a voice development specialist also at KTH, there are good voices and not such good ones.
Ask people to rate a voice. If this is a normal voice, if this is a very good voice or a bad voice, that's something that everyone can do. And we seem to cluster positive aspects of a person together with positive aspects of a voice. But maybe in some cultures we are more tolerant to what we in Scandinavia would say is a deviant voice.
Hold on, deviant?
A deviant.
What's a deviant voice?
you know, something like that. It doesn't have a regular vibration, a lot of breathiness maybe, a lot of hyperfunction. You know, something like this, a strained voice. I mean, if you look at the Mediterranean area, you have hoarse hyperfunctional quality that is due to a fold on the vocal fold that interferes with the vibration of the vocal folds. This makes the voice breathy and hoarse. And there are a lot of very famous Italian singers, for instance, that have this hoarse quality. So I mean, you can have a function with that hoarse quality and make a lot of money.
We are very, very good at picking even the idiosyncratic properties of the person that make this person unique, like her size, the gender of the person, but also age. We are very good at picking out the age from a person's voice, the region of origin, the social cultural status, and so on and so forth. We are very good at picking from very brief vocalization the affective state of the person. Is the person happy, sad, angry? We have developed exquisite mechanisms to process this information.
So as soon as we start to speak, we bombard a potential listener with information about ourselves. Voice recognition plays a major part in our social interaction. And Pascal Berlin, a psychologist at Glasgow University, is currently trying to uncover the cerebral architecture of this process by using MRI, magnetic resonance imaging scans of the brain, to observe the reactions of test volunteers to the emotional content of what they're hearing.
When we compare the response to different types of sounds, we see that there are differential responses in several parts of the cortex, and also in a very important structures that is known to have a crucial role in processing emotional information, the amygdala. This work on amygdala and the role of the amygdala in processing emotional information mostly comes from work with faces, affective faces, happy faces, sad faces, so on. what we showed in this very recent work is that you have the same type of activation of the amygdala for vocal emotions, which again suggests that really there is a parallel in the organization of these two types of information. Voices with its emotional content, either positive or negative, induces a very strong activity in this amygdala. And it makes a lot of sense that the same main types of information that are extracted from both faces and voices are analyzed following exactly similar principles. There's several basic emotional categories like fear, anger, disgust, and so on, are very well recognized either from face expression or from vocal expression as well.
So it seems that the voice can operate like a silent movie, as a sequence of wordless gestures or a face made up of sounds.